It is time once again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. So if you can get your Bibles and be turning it to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4. And in just a few moments, we're going to read Nehemiah chapter 4 verses 6 through 20. I was reading the earlier passages from this chapter at the close of the last class time, and we ran out of time. And when I looked at my timer, I see I had gone over. So the radio station may have cut that off just a little bit, and I don't blame them if they did. I shouldn't go over time. And I just couldn't get it all done, and I didn't want to rush through the reading. And I can't read and look at the timer clock at the same time. So I just thought, well, I'll just keep reading and I'll let them cut me off. But we're going to pick right back up where we left off. That is the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 6 through 20. And we're studying a lesson about how Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. Now, while you're turning to the book of Nehemiah, let me remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our services. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we turn to our class, where we're going to be instructed by E.A. Elam and the Sunday school lesson that he wrote for September the 3rd, 1922. And this is class period 103. Now let's get into the text of this lesson. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, after enduring a bunch of ridicule about building their walls, they're saying, "These feeble Jews think they're going to rebuild that wall? Why, if a fox go up, it'll knock their wall down." And so we read in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, they didn't pay attention to that, but here it is. "So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto half the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Notice that expression. The people had a mind to work. That's how things get done. But then Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 7 through 20. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem went forward, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then were they very wroth, and they conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem, and to cause confusion therein. But we made our prayer unto God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, 'The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall.' And our adversary said, 'They shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst of them and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews that dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, "You must return to us." Therefore set I in the lowest parts of the space between the wall and the open places. I set there the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your houses.' And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth, that half of my servants wrought in the work, and half of them held spears, the shields, and the bows, and the coats of mail, and the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah, they that builded the wall, and they that bear burdens, laded themselves every one with one of his hands he wrought in the work, and with the other held his weapon. Did you catch that? Let me read it again. With one of his hands he wrought in the work, and with the other he held his weapon. And the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place wheresoever ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. Those last words found in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 20 are the words of the golden text for this lesson. Our God will fight for us. There's a devotional reading that goes with this lesson that comes from the book of Psalms. Let me read the 48th Psalm. This is a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the king, the city of the great king. God hath made himself known in her palaces for a refuge, for lo, the kings assembled themselves. They passed by together, they saw it. Then were they amazed, they were dismayed, they hastened away. Trembling took hold of them there. Pain as of a woman in travail, with the east wind that breaketh the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of Jehovah our host, in the city of our God, God will establish it forever. Selah. We have thought on thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. As is thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Number the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Let's now turn, with the time remaining, to Elam's notes. And let me read to you this introduction. In the conclusion of a previous lesson, the elders of the Jews said, "Let us rise up and build." And they strengthened their hands for the good work. The details of the work on the walls and the gates are given in chapter 3. This work was divided between 44 working parties composed of priests, merchants, mechanics, countrymen, and women. Verse 12, the order of the work was for everyone to repair over against his own house. This was practical and wise. Everyone was working for his own defense as well as for the defense of the city, and everyone's work stood for itself and represented his skill and earnestness. In teaching Christianity and extending the Church of Christ, every member should instruct and influence those next to him. This is God's order of work now. So we built the wall. This is a victorious conclusion. The following declaration states the progress. And all the wall was joined together into half the height thereof. Although the Jews were few and poor, and their enemies fierce and powerful, yet the work progressed wonderfully. for the people had a mind to work. Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. Did you hear it? The people had a mind to work. This is a great and most necessary lesson to learn. A mind to work makes opportunities, surmounts difficulties, overcomes oppositions, and removes mountains. In the midst of good opportunities and with no great hindrances, many with no mind to work have accomplished nothing and have gone to destruction. In energy, work, generosity, zeal, and prayer, Nehemiah took the lead. Now look at the explanatory notes. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem went forward and that the breaches thereof began to be stopped, then they were very wroth." Sanballat was a Moabite, designated as a Horonite in Nehemiah 2, verses 10 and verse 19, probably from Horonim, a town of Moab. He had, it seems, some civil or military command under Artaxerxes. He was a fierce adversary of Nehemiah, and from the very beginning of his work opposed every measure for the good of Jerusalem. Sanballat's daughter married a grandson of the high priest in Nehemiah 13:28. Tobiah was an Ammonite in Nehemiah 2 and verse 10, but a son-in-law of Shechaniah. His son was also a son-in-law of Meshulam. These marriages show why there was a strong faction among the Jews in favor of these men. The Ammonites were a tribe east of the Jordan. The Arabians were the Arabs of the desert. The Ashdodites were of the city of Ashdod near the Mediterranean Sea. These were all enemies of the Jews, and when they heard of Nehemiah's work, they were very wroth. It grieved them to learn that Nehemiah had come to seek the welfare of the children of Israel, Nehemiah 2 and verse 10. And so they resorted to ridicule. The first attack these enemies made upon their Jews and their efforts to rebuild the walls was that of ridicule. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye will do? Will ye rebel against the king?" Nehemiah informed them that the Jews' strength was in God and that they had no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 2, 19 through 20. As the work progressed, Sanballat took great indignation and mocked the Jews. "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heap of rubbish, seeing they are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they are building, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall." Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3. Nehemiah prayed and worked on. So we built the wall. And the wall was joined together unto half the height thereof, Nehemiah 4, 4 through 6. That is, the breaches in the wall were all stopped, and the wall was built up around the city to half its height. Ridicule is a most powerful weapon before which some cannot stand. When the good King Hezekiah sent his men throughout Judah and Israel, teaching and exhorting the people to come to Jerusalem and worship God, as it is written, "While many repented and came, others laughed these men to scorn and mocked them." Satan laughs to scorn and mocks and ridicules all who seek to teach others to do the same. Such teachers and worshipers are called by ridiculous names. They're told they cannot accomplish much, and that foxes can leap up at their walls, and figuratively speaking, anything they attempt to build. Satan does this through human agencies, and though many claim to be the people of God, Sad and strange it is that some who seek to be desirous after the New Testament order of things cannot stand ridicule and mockery, and they seem to wither under it and to turn to follow the popular current. We're going to have to stop there. Be back next time.